We're very pleased at this time to continue our study in the book of Joshua. We're in the 7th chapter, and last time we'd gotten through the 15th verse. The first part of this chapter tells about the fact that Israel had a sin among them due to the fact that one of their members had stolen some of the goods from the city of Jericho after it had been destroyed, and this was contrary to the covenant of God. This constituted a sin, a transgression. And because of this sin, Israel had suffered its first defeat in its very second battle after it entered the land of Canaan with the city of Ai. And God told Joshua that because of this sin is why you were defeated. And you're going to have to get rid of the sin. You're going to have to take care of that grievance that I have with you before I'll be with you anymore. And so, beginning in this 16th verse now, we have the details of how Joshua was instructed to take care of this problem. So Joshua chapter 7 verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. So we see Joshua got busy on this. He had been mourning and grieving and humbling himself before the Ark of the Covenant until dark the evening before. Then God told him how to carry this process out of discovering the sinner. And so he was to examine tribe by tribe, and then he would take family by family, and then he would take household by household, man by man, until he discovered the right person. So as he took tribe by tribe, it was the tribe of Judah. Now Judah was a very honored tribe. They were to have the largest portion of any of the other tribes. Consequently, you would think that they would be the very least likely to have a covetous person among them, since they were going to get such a great portion as their inheritance of the land of Canaan anyway. But this doesn't always figure to be true when you're talking about somebody who's covetous. A covetous person always wants more. I don't care how much they have, they're going to always want to get more. And they're going to get it by means that are not legal, rightful means to do it. Now, some of the ancient Jewish scholars say that since the tribe of Judah was chosen, that Judah was so indignant that the men rose up in arms with their swords ready to attack whoever the offender was. Now that is simply said by tradition. The Bible doesn't say that. So in verse 17, after the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. So now we get it narrowed down to a more near relative of the offender, Zabdi. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So they found the guilty man now. Achan is the guilty party. And it's interesting to note what Joshua says in the 19th verse. We would have reason to think that Joshua would be very wroth, very upset, that he would give the man a tongue lashing, that he would start accusing him and making all kinds of remarks about him. But we see that Joshua is much more mature and much more secure in his position with God as he deals with Achan. In verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Okay, Achan, you've been discovered. You've been found out about. We know that you're guilty. You've held it back, but by the process that God has given us of elimination here, you are the guilty person. And so the thing to do now is to go ahead and give glory to the God of Israel by making confession. Tell me what you've done. Don't hide it anymore. And the big problem here is that Achan did not confess his guilt before they found out about him. He forced them to go through this process and discover that he was a sinner on their own volition rather than him make the confession earlier. No doubt, had he made an earlier confession, he might have been able to have offered a sacrifice for sin and gotten forgiveness. But he held back to the very end, and he probably would have never confessed this had they not discovered that he was the sinner. But now is the time in which he's going to have to make a confession. Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. So Achan did own up to it. He admitted he was the one who was guilty of the sin. Now, this is always the way it is when there's sin. Somebody is guilty of the sin. Never is God guilty. We can't blame another person for making us do this. When we sin, we're guilty of the sin ourselves. It is our responsibility. It is our fault. And consequently, our confession has to include the fact that the responsibility lies solely upon our shoulders. And so Achan does say that this is what happened. I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Now, another thing we want to note is when we sin, regardless of who gets hurt in the sin, regardless of who knows about it or who doesn't know about it, it's always God against whom we sin. We have always committed transgression against God. Somebody say, well, I'm going to do this, but it's not going to hurt anybody. It's going to hurt God. God's going to be the one that the sin is committed against, and consequently, God is the one who is required by his own law to bring about some kind of punishment for the sin. God will get recompense. He will get vengeance. That's just a rule of God that he follows. It's a righteous rule. It's an unbreakable rule. As long as the sin is present, then God owes that person some kind of vengeance, and he will get the vengeance. So in verse 21, Achan gives the details of his sin. He says, When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them. Now, as they were destroying this city of Jericho, Achan says that he saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. Now, this no doubt was an expensive type garment. It's called a Babylonish garment here, which, according to some Bible scholars, indicates that it came from Babylonia. And so it was a foreign make, and it was a highly prized item to have. And we can imagine Achan thinking, why, what a shame it is to burn this in the fire, to destroy this. Rather than destroy this, I'm just going to take it. Nobody's going to ever know it. And in later times, I can wear it. And how nice it'll be to have a garment like this. I just haven't been able to afford anything like this. And nobody will ever know if I just take it instead of burning it. And then on the silver and the gold, of course, he couldn't claim he was saving them from the fire. They wouldn't burn. But the covetousness came forth, and he just couldn't bear the thought of not taking this when he had an opportunity to take it. Now, that was to go into the treasury of the Lord, you know. He actually stole that from what was to go to God. And when it says 200 shekels of silver, as I understand it, this means 100 ounces of silver. And this wedge of gold that was 50 shekels, that would be 25 ounces of gold. And he says, Then I coveted them and took them. Now this is the root of his sin here. He coveted them. To covet something means that you have an inordinate desire for gain. You want gain beyond what the ordinary desire for gain should be. He lost his perspective. He lost his sense of values. He saw these things. He wanted them. He coveted them. And consequently, he took them. And the taking of them constituted, of course, the carrying out of this sin. Lust is the thing that originates sin, and then lust, when it had conceived, bringeth forth death. And that's what happened here to Achan. He had the lust, he had the desire, he had the covet, and then when he let this thing get the best of him so that he carried it out, it conceived, the act was done, then he separated himself from God. He then became a sinner. He sinned against God. And he says, "And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So he took these things into his tent, and he hid them in his tent. Sounds like that he might have even buried them there in the tent. And this reminds us of the saying that Jesus gave in Matthew 16:26, "What has a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And that's what happened in the case of Achan. He made a gain, all right. He gained these treasures, the silver, the gold, and this goodly garment. But in the process, he lost his soul. He violated the covenant of God. And this teaches us that we certainly must have our priorities in the right place when it comes to earthly gain. We can't afford to tell one lie in order to get earthly gain. We can't afford to take anything that's not rightfully ours, to overcharge for our services, to misrepresent something to somebody. When we do, we're committing a sin very similar to this one that Achan committed here. We're having covetousness to overcome us. We're causing ourselves to get into the position of taking something that we should not take. And that's what happened to Achan. So he got these treasures, but because he lost his faith in God, because he thought more of earthly treasures than he did of obeying the will of God, we're going to see how that this cost him very, very dearly. Verse 22. "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent." Now Joshua was going to discover to see whether or not this thing were true, as Achan related the story. And so they went to check to see if these things were in his tent. He sent messengers, and they ran under the tent. This idea of them running implies that they were very eager to determine whether or not this was true. To find the treasure, to find the thing that was the great offense against this whole camp, and caused them to lose 36 men in battle and to lose the battle with the city of Ai. So they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. They found the thing that Achan told them about. "And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord." Here was the ill-gotten gain. Here was the thing that broke the covenant with God. Here was the results of Achan's sin. Now at this time, no doubt, these things looked quite differently to Achan than they did when they were over there fixing to be burned in the destruction of the city of Jericho. I'm sure that at this point Achan wished he'd have never seen these things. And beyond that, he wishes that he had never allowed himself to have coveted them and have taken them. Achan is no doubt having some quite different feelings now about these things than he did just a few days before. And so it is with us in sin. Sin, after it's committed, looks a whole lot more different than it did before we commit it. Before we do it, it seemed like, oh, here's such a pleasure. This is the forbidden fruit. I would so like to be able to partake of this, and I'm going to partake of it. I can. I see that I have the ability to do it, and I'm going to do it. But after it's over with, it stingeth at the last like the bite of an adder. It's as though we have an entirely different perspective on the act afterwards than we did before. We begin to have regrets. We wish we hadn't have done it. And we see then that we had sold out our soul for a mess of pottage. How many young people have been tempted to commit a sin by the world. The temptation is there. The availability to do it is there. And they go ahead and allow themselves to do it. And then when it's over, when it's finished, how regretful they are. They see they have certainly transgressed the will of God. They stepped out of the realm of the protection of the household of God. And consequently then, if that sin becomes exposed, oh, what a shame it is. What a tragedy it is. And how they regret it. How they wish they'd never seen it. Wish they'd never done it. And we can imagine that then as being the same feeling that Achan had as they took all these treasures that he'd stolen. They brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Here was the guilty person caught red-handed. Here were the things that he stole. And here is the reason why God has departed from the house of Israel. Verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. So he asked the question, Why did you do it, Achan? Why did you trouble us? And here's another characteristic of sin. Sin is not just something that we do that's wrong, and then we have to pay the consequence for it. But sin is also trouble. It's trouble to all those who are associated with it. It's trouble to all those who are associated with you. If you are guilty of a sin, there's a very good chance that the problem that sin brings you is also going to be brought to some degree upon somebody else. Somebody else is going to have to suffer to some extent for the sin that you've committed. And that's what happened here in the case of Achan. All the household of Israel had already suffered. They had sustained a major defeat in battle. They had lost 36 men. And this was quite a price for them to have to pay, because in their godly battles in which they were led by God, they weren't used to losing any men. They weren't used to having to suffer any kind of a defeat. But they'd paid a price for the sin of Achor. In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking about when God comes, when Christ comes again for the judgment day. And he says, seeing in the verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So those who bring trouble are going to have trouble brought on them by the Lord. And those who are troubled are going to be given rest by the Lord. So he asks Achan the question, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. Now when the Lord brings trouble on us, that is trouble indeed. We just do not want to get into a position where the Lord is bringing trouble upon us. Because when we do that, we have certainly placed ourselves at the most tremendous and extreme of all disadvantages. And that's what happened here to Achor. He says, The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And so we read what happens in this 25th verse. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. So Achan is destroyed. All that he has is destroyed. His oxen and his sheep, his asses, his tent, this goodly garment from Babylon, it also is burned. And the gold and the silver are burned and defaced with it. And although they're not destroyed, no doubt they are melted, and they are at the in the heap of ashes and rubbish that is what is left of Achan. And from the context here, it certainly appears that his sons and daughters also were stoned and destroyed along with him. Now, some think that the sons and daughters were just brought out to observe this scene and actually were not destroyed themselves. However, this statement that says and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones implies that they too were involved in this and that they were put to death. Now, if they were put to death, we have to assume that they were a party to this stealing of these treasures from the city of Jericho, and they were involved in the keeping of the things secret and the hiding of the items, and so then they were guilty because of what they had done, not because of what Achor had done necessarily, but because of what they had done by being involved in it. Verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So there is a memorial made of this deed of Achor. They raised a great heap of stones there so that all would remember what had happened. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Now remember, when sin occurs, God has to get vengeance. He has to bring about some kind of punishment of the sin. And then after this had happened, he turned from the fierceness of his anger. He no longer was angry with the children of God because they had gotten rid of the sin. And of course, in this case, it meant they had to get rid of the sinner. Now, there are some who think that Achor was saved in the life after this one because his punishment was a physical, earthly type punishment. That we do not know. The Bible doesn't state that one way or the other. And then the last sentence, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now this word Achor means trouble. So that valley was called from that time on the Valley of Trouble because of the trouble that Achan had brought upon the household of Israel.